Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. The prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my
morning on this 4th of July weekend, and what a blessing it is to be a citizen of the United States of America. I'm so thankful that we live in a country that there is still freedom of expression. I know there are a lot of folks who are battling against our rights, but as Christians, we can still talk about Jesus. We can still gather together in a church and worship the Lord, and I'm so thankful for that, and I know you are as well. Well, I hope that you'll pray for me as I am on this weekend. On Friday the 4th, I just finished camp meeting in West Chazy, New York at the West Chazy Holiness Camp Meeting. And now I'm going to go down to the state of Georgia, go from the north to the south, and I'll be at Indian Springs Holiness Camp Meeting, July 10 through 20. And then I'll go right from Georgia back over to New Jersey to Irma Holiness Camp Meeting, and that is located in Cape May, New Jersey. So I do cover your prayers as I'm involved in these camp meetings during the month of July. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the listening audience. I thank you for those who tune in on a weekly basis, those who might have just happened on the program today. And I pray that you would minister in a very special way as we share the message and the music. Thank you so much for those who do support us. And I pray that you would raise up new supporters as we are. In the last few months, we've had to say goodbye to some faithful folks who have been supporting the program a long time. They've gone on to be with you. And I know they're rejoicing, and we rejoice with them today. We love you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel through the medium of radio. And I pray that you would just be with those who are sick and shut in, those who need a special touch today. I ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. As always, I need to remind you that we are a listener-supported, faith-based radio program. And we need for our listening audience to come alongside and help us stay on this radio station. So would you take just a few minutes to write us a letter and send an offering as you can? I'd appreciate it so very, very much. Our mailing address is The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. We also have tabs on our website, lomanministries.org, where you can give through PayPal or Venmo. Hope you'll pray about doing that. Hope you enjoy the message preached in a revival setting this spring titled Casting the Shadow of the Spirit-Filled Life.
My light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I
body lay, light of the world by darkness slain.
Then bursting forth in glorious day, out from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. The precious blood of Christ.
No guilt in life,
no fear in power of Christ in me.
From life's first cry
to final breath,
Jesus commands my destiny.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand.
Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand.
Till he returns or calls me home,
here in the power of I stand here in the power of Christ. I stand. I stand.
We are Trinitarian. We believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the executor of all things spiritual. If you're saved, it's because the Holy Spirit sought you out. He convicted you, brought you to that knowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you responded to that with faith, and you gave your heart to Christ, confessed your sins, you were saved. If you're saved and sanctified, it's because the Holy Spirit revealed to you that there was something in addition to regeneration that needed to take place in your life. There was that carnal nature, and you recognized the need for Him to come and cleanse you of that carnal nature. If you're saved and you're sanctified, you know that when you're tempted, the Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside to help, to give assistance so that you can resist temptation and not yield. You also recognize that when you read the Bible, it is the Holy Spirit who reveals the Word of God to you so you can understand it and apply it to your life. It is the Holy Spirit who provides guidance and wisdom and courage to witness to those who do not know Christ. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, Christianity would be nothing more than another lifeless religion. We need to know the reality of the Holy Spirit. With that in mind, I want to take you on an express journey through the early days of the first century church. And you will see a common theme as we read these selected verses of Scripture. If you have fast fingers, you can follow along. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples just prior to his ascension back to the Father. And he says this in verse 8 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they, the 120 in the upper room, were all together in one place. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers. Notice the language. They prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Cornelius was a Roman centurion of the Italian regiment in Caesarea. The Bible tells us that he was a devout and God-fearing man. He sent for Peter, who was living in Joppa. And Peter came to the home of Cornelius. And he began to minister to Cornelius and his family. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. This is the Jerusalem Council, and Peter is giving a report of his ministry. Peter got up and addressed them, "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them," the Gentiles, "by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith." A dear friend of mine was preaching a camp meeting in a southern city. It was an old-fashioned Methodist camp meeting. And one day, he decided to just take a stroll around the campground. He invited his young daughter, Emily, 4 years old, to accompany him. She said, "Dad, can I take Fred, my cousin?" Fred was also about 4 years old, and he said, "Of course you can." And so they began to just walk around this old-fashioned Methodist campground. And as they came down the trail, they rounded the corner of a building and came face to face with a life-size statue of John Wesley. Little Fred was taken aback. He said, "Who on earth is that?" And Emily said, "Don't you know who that is? That's the shadow of God." My friend who told the story said, "I have no idea where she came up with that definition of John Wesley." But if you know anything about John Wesley, you do know that he cast a remarkable shadow across the religious landscape of history in his day and age. And when you go to the Word of God, it's very interesting. There is a passage that talks about one of the disciples casting a shadow. And you will find it in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders, and as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by." Here's the proposition of my final sermon for you this year. Everyone cast a shadow. Every church will cast a shadow. And it will either be the shadow of spiritual empowerment, or it will be the shadow of some kind of lackluster existence as a church and as an individual. We have a choice. You have the choice to cast a remarkable spiritual shadow upon the lives of those with whom you come in contact. This church has the wonderful opportunity to cast a great shadow across this community. Wouldn't it be something if when we walked into a room, into a place of business, into a family gathering, that when we walked in, we were so filled, permeated by the Holy Spirit, that it was as though Jesus had walked into the room? Well, believe it or not, that's how it's supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to operate, operating in the Spirit. You never met my mother. My mother's been with Jesus for 25 years. My mother was a slight of build lady. I talked a little bit about her in the sermon on Saturday night. I remember when we gathered for our annual Crabtree reunion one year. My mother was a crab tree. And we gathered there with her brothers and her sisters. And all of our families were there in this Family Life Center where my sister and her husband pastored. There might have been 50 people there in the gathering that day. And as we had finished our eating, my mother stood. She was quiet. She was not the kind to be out front. She did not have that kind of extroverted personality like some have. But that day she stood. It was almost as though my mother sensed this might be the last opportunity I'll ever have to share Jesus with my family. And she stood there that day, and I sat there. I have a picture of it, with my mother standing there with her hand raised like that, speaking to her brothers and her sisters and her nieces and her nephews, talking about Jesus, telling them, be sure you don't go through life without Jesus in your life. I don't remember everything my mother said, but she was anointed. There was something about what my mother said that cast a remarkable shadow over that gathering that afternoon on that Sunday. Everybody cast a shadow, and I was amazed as I watched this little 98-pound, ninth grade educated, never drove a car lady stand there and just get Jesus all over everybody. It was amazing. Everybody cast a shadow. And I believe the corporate cry of our generation to us tonight, and I say this in all due respect, I believe the corporate cry of this generation of which you and I are a part is, we've listened to you. We've watched you go to church. We've heard about your political activism. We've read your books. We've observed your programs. We've heard you rattle the sword of Christian jihad. Now we would like to see a genuine demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We would like to see a genuine demonstration of the Holy Spirit that makes a difference in you and your church, in your family, in your community. You see, we're going to cast a shadow, and it will either be the shadow of a powerless life and church, or it will be the shadow of spiritual empowerment and anointing. You will, we will cast a shadow. And by revisiting the early church, we can understand better what it means to cast a empowered spiritual shadow. And first of all, if we're going to cast an effective shadow for Jesus Christ and the kingdom, we will have to know the power of the Holy Spirit personally. The same power that filled those disciples in that upper room on the day of Pentecost is still available to you. It's still available to the church today. Just before ascending back to his Father, Jesus is having a meal with his disciples, chapter 1, verse 4 of the book of Acts. On one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. A dear friend and mentor of mine who is a noted church leadership consultant. He was actually hired by Oral Roberts University when it was on the verge of closure to come and right the ship. And he spent several years as the president of Oral Roberts University. I spoke with him night before last. He called me and we spoke for a little while. He was president of Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. They too were on the verge of closure, and they asked him to come and use his leadership techniques to try and put that school back together, and it's still in existence today. He was asked to pastor a church in Orlando, Florida, that had had moral failures among some of the leadership of the congregation. And he went in and brought that church back. And that church is now a viable congregation in downtown Orlando, Florida. He's renowned for his leadership abilities and teaching, consulting. He was invited by a church, he told the story. He was invited by a church to come and meet with their leadership because the church was on the ropes. The church just was going nowhere. There was a lot of infighting. There was nothing happening at the church. They were going to have to close the church if something didn't change in that church. So they hired my friend to come in and meet with the leadership of the congregation. And he told the story, and he said, as I sat there with them, the leadership in this room all day long, he said, I met with them, and he said, I shared with them every tool that I have had available to me. I shared with them after assessing their situation and hearing them talk. I told them what I felt they needed to do if things were going to be straightened out and the church was going to become a viable congregation again. And he said, they resisted everything that I shared with them. He said, I just wanted to slap every one of them. He said, at the end of the day, he said, I looked at them and said, I've given you everything I know. I don't know what else to suggest. Perhaps God has revealed something to you as we've talked today, and you would like to share it with us. He said, there was an old farmer in that group of leaders. He was sitting at the back of the room, chair leaning up against the wall. He had on bib overalls and a flannel shirt and brogan shoes. And he said he spoke for the very first time in our meeting. And he said, here is what I think we ought to do. He said, I think we ought to just dynamite the whole thing. That could be the subtitle of the book of Acts. Do you know where we get our word power in the New Testament? It's the Greek word dynamos, where we get our word dynamite. And could it be tonight that that's what we need?
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.